Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me on the Word Podcast. We're about to start another new examination of some stuff, sort of a short-term thing that has a long-term purpose, a long-term impact. At the time of this recording, what day is today? August the 6th, 2023. And about a month from now, first week of September, we're actually going to be doing an online precept Bible study on the book of Psalms. And I know they've got the first of several books of Psalms ready. So this is part one. Then there'll be a part two. I suspect there'll be three more parts to it to where they can cover the entirety of Psalms, because the Psalms is rather long, right? It's 150 Psalms, and some extremely short, some are very long. And so how do you even approach doing that? And so I've got the actual workbook for the first one's already been released. And it looks like it's going to be a big overview, from like a 100,000-foot overview. But I don't know yet. I haven't even unwrapped it yet. It's just sitting right there. But I want to do the Word Podcast in conjunction with the Psalm Bible study for some period of time. I don't know exactly how that will work out. But anyway, we're going to do a dive into the Psalms. But I don't want to start it until September. So I got a month. And I thought, well, you know, we could start it and do this, all sorts of things. And then it hit me, and then I forgot it. Then it hit me again, and I forgot it. And then it hit me again. I thought, okay, I remember now, I'm going to do this. Let's go back and look at David. David wrote many of the Psalms, maybe a majority of the Psalms. He didn't write all of them by any stretch of the imagination. Some of them actually have different names on them. But he wrote, let's say, a majority of them, okay? It is believed that he did. So let's learn who this guy is. We know a lot about King David when he was a shepherd, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought it would just do as well just simply to read the scripture that's related to David. And so it actually picks up in 1 Samuel, 16th chapter. And it goes from there all the way through basically 2 Samuel. Okay, not quite all of it, but basically that. So I thought today we'll start with chapter 16, 1 Samuel. And hang on a sec. Yeah, here we go. First verse. Listen to this. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." Now, this is a really important verse right here because it gives us insight. First of all, Saul had been rejected. God says it right here. God rejected him as king. And go read the first part of 1 Samuel, and you'll see that whole story there. And Saul's heart wasn't after God, and it really grieved Samuel that this had happened. And God's calling the task on it. He's saying, hey, how long are you going to grieve over Saul? I'm the one that rejected him. I rejected him being king over Israel. Now, the wild thing is the Lord rejected him, and the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, okay? It left him. And yet Saul remained king for an extended period of time, 15 years maybe, 15 or 20 years. I'm thinking it was 15. But he remained king, but he didn't have the anointing of the Lord upon him. What a miserable place. And then in this verse right here, we see that God tells Samuel point blank, fill up your horn with oil and go. I'm going to send you. And he tells him exactly where to go. Go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And then God says, I selected a king for myself among his sons. I'm choosing this king. Did he choose the first one? Well, sort of. Yeah, sort of. But yeah, there's some interesting things to that thing. The people looked upon Saul. Oh, he's tall, dark, and handsome. He's a head taller than everybody else. He must be the king. It's that attitude. Now watch Samuel's reaction here, verse 2, when God does this. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. In other words, Saul and Samuel were not on the best of terms at this time. Because Samuel had told him, man, you know, this is what's going to happen to you right here. You have done this. Literally, your kingdom is being torn away from you in the same way you just tore my outfit. That's what had happened. Listen what the Lord says. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. So it would have been unusual for Samuel the prophet to pop up just in some town. Saul would have heard about it and caused all sorts of trouble. The Lord says, well, come and sacrifice to me. Verse 13, you shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. So Samuel, all he had to do was be obedient. All he had to do is just go and do what God had told him to do. The Lord's giving him a blow-by-blow account of what's going to happen. Verse 4, so Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? In other words, what is he doing here? This is not a good thing. This is sort of like your principal showing up or like your boss showing up at your house on the front door, you know? What's going on here? Verse 5, Samuel said, in peace I have come. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And so it looks like that Samuel actually sought him out, and he's the one that consecrated them and said, hey, you need to come to the sacrifice. Verse 6, when they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So Samuel looks at the oldest son, tall, dark, and handsome. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. But for God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's the Lord saying all that in verse 7 right there. Not to look at the outward appearance, not to look at the height of his stature. Why? Because the Lord had rejected him. God sees and looks upon the inward side, looks upon the heart, not upon the outside. Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Now Jesse made Shema pass by. And he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, this is Jesse's response, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. There's actually some answers to a couple of questions that often pop up in this kind of thing. You know, people will say, well, David was anointed. Did anybody know? Yeah, his family did. He was anointed in the midst of his brothers. And then when you see David's adulthood, because we don't know how old David was at this time, he was not considered to be an adult. So he's out watching the sheep. He might have been like 10, 12 years old, something like that. He could have been 15, but I think he would have been considered an adult by that time. So let's say he's 11 or 12 years old. The Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon him. Often when people read David's story, they say, well, the Spirit comes and the Spirit goes upon David's life. It's not like it is today with us and the Holy Spirit sent us. What did it say here? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Does that mean that he abided within him in the same way he does with us? I don't think so. But I think that the Spirit of the Lord was with him, just like it says, from that day forward. Then Samuel gets up and goes back to Ramah. He had been faithful and obedient. 1 Samuel 16. Hey, we'll keep pressing on. I'll see you next episode. Goodbye.